146. That's in the Old Testament of your Bible. I hear those pages flipping, so we'll give you another few seconds. Psalm 146. Last Sunday night, we were having another great service, and the Lord was blessing, and folks were moving, and it was just good to be in the house. And I was expecting to preach, and then just because of testimonies and whatnot, I did not preach. And I had a message ready to preach Sunday night, and then didn't preach it. And this week I've been studying in the book of Luke, and was studying and trying to finalize things last night. Couldn't get any finalizing done. Couldn't get anything finalized. How about that? Get my grammar correct here. Couldn't get anything finalized, and sitting here just a few moments ago, and I opened up my iPad here. I'm a technological preacher. I don't have actual paper. I have an iPad here. I opened it up, and that message from last Sunday night was still there. I went from not having any peace to knowing exactly what I needed to preach on. Amen. I hope one of these days you get to know that feeling of waiting on the Lord and knowing exactly what he has. And it is a message I've preached before, but it's been quite some time ago. I hope you've got it written in your Bible or have some notes on it, and maybe we'll preach something different or something. I don't know. Maybe it'll just be a help. I believe it's already going to be a help to me. Psalm 146, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." Can I read that again? "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." Heavenly Father, please magnify your word. Please help me, Lord, recall to my memory what I've studied. Allow me to preach in your power and in your ability. Lord, help this dear crowd that have gathered here today to get something from your word. Help me, Lord, to expound and explain the word of God to them in a way that they can understand it, and it will set in their hearts, and they will be able to be helped. Thank you, Lord, for those that are with us today as guests. I pray, God, that you'd bless them and help them, encourage them. Those that are watching online, God, watch over and protect them. Those that will listen on the radio later on, God, would you bless them as well? Father, have your will and your way. Bless all the ministries of Gateway Baptist Church. Forgive me, Father, my many sins and shortcomings where I have failed you. Let me be pure and holy before you. I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' holy name, the name above all other names. No other name, Lord, given among men whereby we can be saved. That wonderful, magnificent, lovely name of Jesus. Amen. In Psalm 146, that little phrase, "Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul." The first part of this verse, it just simply says to praise the Lord, making it personal. And then the next phrase says, "Praise the Lord," a general statement that he's worthy of all of your praise. So in that first little bit, he's got the word "ye" or "you" in there. You praise the Lord. It's not just up to somebody else to praise the Lord. It's something that you can do yourself. Matter of fact, it works a whole lot better when there's multiple people praising the Lord, not just one. Amen? I wonder sometimes if the praise of the Lord isn't so far and in our lives that we find it unusual that people are willing to praise the Lord when they're at church. This is the one place that you ought to be able to cut loose and just say, I'm going to glorify God come what may. Amen? We get kind of big-eyed when somebody goes to shouting. I remember one time years ago, my pastor was up preaching. We was having an exceptional service at the church that I grew up in. And this little lady back in the backside, man, she got happy and went to shouting. And I thought, here we go, brother. This is on. Amen. I like it. Listen, church, you're not going to hurt nobody's feelings if you just need to shout it out a little while. Amen. If something stirs in your soul and you need to just let it out, you just let it out. Amen. Just go ahead and say, well, praise the Lord. Amen. Go ahead and say hallelujah, as Brother David has been giving us to here lately. Go ahead and just stand up and say, you know what? I'm just going to wave my hands up to the Lord. Do you know what they used to do in the Old Testament when they get stuff out of their garden? They had a thing called the wave offering. And they would go through that garden and they would pick the first fruits. Now, I got me some beans planted and they're coming up. They're looking good. I got me some corn planted. It's coming up. I just fertilized it and throwed some little bit of dirt up next to them. And I've already told the Lord that when He blesses that garden, man, I'm going to show Him exactly what He's done. I'm going to stand out there in the middle of my garden and I'm going to wave them bean pods up toward heaven. Amen. That's what they used to do. They used to take all of the goodness of God in their life and they would wave it up to the Lord. Amen. They would say to the Lord, thank you for what you've given to us. Thank you for what you've done. And they would just wave it back and forth, looking up to the sky, and God would see that and accept that offering. I'm not sure why it is that we come in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and think we have to clam up and be quiet. I would to God, Gateway, that you'd just cut loose one Sunday morning, one Sunday night, one Wednesday night, and you would just start praising the Lord and waving your little arms and little hands up to the Lord and saying, God has been too good to me for me to be quiet. God has been too good for me to lay down on the job. God has been too good for me to not do anything to glorify His holy name. I would this morning that you'd get a hold of Psalm 146 and say, I'm just going to praise the Lord. Be all right if you do it while I'm preaching. Amen. I've preached through shouting before. I can do it again. Praise ye the Lord. It's up to you, church, to praise the Lord. Then he goes in that next little phrase and he says, praise the Lord. He makes a general statement. It ought to be that every Christian in the world praises the Lord. He's worthy of all of our praise. So what does all this mean? Preacher, why are you so hyped up on this? I hope y'all are comfortable today. I got 6 points we're going to go over. And here's what we're going to preach. Kevin, you might recognize this from years ago. I want to preach to you on this word, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all okay? Hallelujah. Now here's what the word means. Here's how we're going to start out. Y'all are with me? I see you writing. I'm glad that you're writing. Here we go. So this word praise, the Hebrew word for praise is halal. H-A-L-A-L. Halal. Halal. Y'all with me? I'm not speaking any crazy language. I'm saying a Hebrew word in a southern West Georgia vernacular. Amen? Y'all all right? I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I've never been formally taught Hebrew. I don't understand, but I do know what a lexicon is. Amen? Somebody say amen right there. I do know how to get in and study and dig into the Word of God. And so the Hebrew word is halal. Now, the Hebrew word for the phrase the Lord is Jehovah. Jehovah. Y'all recognize that? The halal, praise Jehovah. And so what we've done and what has happened all over the world is we combined that phrase and we put the two words together and they have become halal Jehovah or Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And you can go, I've already said this, but I want to say it again. You can go anywhere in the world. See, the word hallelujah cannot be translated by one word in any other language. So therefore, it is transferred instead of translated. It is nearly the same in Greek, Latin, German, French, Italian, and in English. Go nearly anywhere in the world and say the word hallelujah, and the people will know that you're saying praise Jehovah God. I'm preaching about Jehovah God. I ain't preaching about Allah. Amen. I'm preaching about Jehovah God. I ain't talking about something that somebody else knows. I'm talking about Jehovah God, the true God, the one God. Y'all okay? I'm glad there ain't many gods. There is one God. There's a lot of people that have made a God out of different things. Matter of fact, in the Hindu religion, there are 333 million and counting gods. 333 million. They worship cows and monkeys, and they believe that they are deities. And we say, oh, we kind of laugh. Please understand, I'm not trying to make fun of them, but I promise you, when you say the word hallelujah, you're not talking to a cow. Amen? You say the word hallelujah, you're not talking to a monkey. You say a word hallelujah, you're not praising some being here on the earth. You are praising the God of all heaven and earth. You're glorifying His holy name. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. All right, church, on this side, y'all too, I want y'all to say hallelujah. Y'all know what's coming. Hallelujah. Here we go.
Hallelujah.
Y'all gonna have to get louder.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. My goodness, it took me getting you into some interactive preaching to get you to say hallelujah this morning. Hallelujah simply means praise ye the Lord. So, preacher, what do you mean by preaching on hallelujah? Well, the first off, there is the hallelujah of nature. For those of you that are writing down, there's the hallelujah of nature. There's the praise ye the Lord of nature. We find this hallelujah used at the end of Psalms 104. I'm going to have to slow down a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to make it all the way through preaching this morning. Amen. Most of you know that I'm a runner and I enjoy running. And I know the feeling when I've gone out too fast. That means you run your first mile too fast. I know how my body feels. I'm feeling that right now. Hallelujah of nature. Psalm 104, verses 34 and 35. The psalmist said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. This psalm is all about nature. It is called the creation psalm. It begins by calling on the soul to bless God, and then it describes Him greatness and honor and majesty. And if you go through the psalm, you find in verse number 2 that the light is God's garment. It is what He wears. The waters are under His command. The next time you stand at the ocean or go down to the Gulf and you're down there and you see how powerful and how magnificent water is and you see those waves crashing in, or hey, just have a little bit of a flood, get 2, 3, 4 inches of rain in one night and go down there to the dried up creek bed and watch that water flow and you see the power that water has and the damage that it can cause and the power that is in it, and you remind yourself, God's in control of that great power. The book of Job said this for the sea, said that God has set the bounds of the sea and they're not going to come any further than what God says they can come. Amen. The thunder is his voice in verse number 7. In verses 10 through 18, he waters, feeds, and provides shelter for mankind, animals, and for plant life. In verses 19 through 23, he's the law that governs the sun, the moon, and the seasons of the earth. In verse number 24, the Bible says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. In verses 25 through 30, he's the ruler of the ocean and all the life therein. Psalm 104, verses 31 through 33, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Surely all of nature shouts hallelujah to the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I'm glad I didn't preach this on a Sunday night. Thank God for us giving Him giving us the hallelujah of nature. Then there's the hallelujah of providence. The hallelujah of providence. We don't talk much about providence in the Baptist church. But providence means a life that is wrapped up in God's care. I was talking about to our young adult Sunday school class this morning. I was talking about how that we can pray to the Lord and intercede for ourselves and for others, and we can petition God. And I talked about the difference between us trying to work it out on our own and us trusting God with everything that we need. Thank God He will always provide for us. In Psalm 105, y'all might just catch a theme here. We talked in, some of y'all going, oh no, he started in 146. He went all the way back to 104. He said, I hope y'all comfortable. I hope he ain't going through all of them. Maybe I am. Psalm 105, it says, or the psalmist is going back over how good God's been to Israel. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He had done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Now you think about all the things that God done for Israel. It was God that protected His people when they were few in number. It was God that called for a famine when prosperity made them forget what He had done for them. Amen. It was God that sent Joseph down into Egypt by way of his brothers selling him into slavery to feed them in a time of famine years later in the future, and then sent Moses to deliver them out of Pharaoh's hand. It was God who sent the plagues, amen. It was God who led the Israelites with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. It was God who opened up that Red Sea, amen. It was God that opened up that Red Sea. It was God that opened up that Red Sea so that they could walk across on dry ground. And the Bible says they went out with a high hand. They was giving God hallelujah as they walked out the other side of that sea. Glory to God. Hallelujah, amen. It was God that opened up the rock to give them fresh water to drink and caused manna to fall to the earth to feed them. God did all of these things in His providence. Psalm 105, 43 and 40 through 45 says, and He brought forth His people with joy and His chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise ye the Lord. You can praise God in the dark, because He makes the light to shine out of darkness. You can praise God in sorrow, for Jesus said that your sorrow will be turned into joy. You can praise God in the providence while you have going through a cloudy day, for on the clouds God shows His rainbow of love and promise of mercy to mankind for the rest of our days. Praise God for the furnace. It's in the furnace where He walks with you in the fire. And when you come out, only your bonds have been burned up. Hey, some of you saying, preacher, I'm in the fire this morning. I'm going through the flame. Good. That means God's burning something off of you, amen, and getting rid of something that's got you bound. I believe it's, I can't remember what book, maybe Malachi talks about the refiner's pot where he's got silver in the refiner's pot. You take silver. Now, they don't do it so much today. They use liquid to do it today. But in those days, they would fill up silver ore in a pot, and they would light a fire up under that pot, and they would get that silver heated up and all that ore that was in there and all the stuff. And as it heated up, all of what they call the dross, D-R-O-S-S, would come to the top. And you would take the refiner, once that dross had come to the top, he'd take a slab of wood or rock or something, and he would shave off all of that dross off of the top of that refiner's pot, off of that fire. And then they would light the fire again. They'd heat it up again, and more dross would come up out of that ore, and the fine silver would go to the bottom, and he'd scrape it off the top, get rid of the dross, and he'd do this over and over and over again, usually seven times. And it would come to the seventh time, and the refiner could look over into that pot and know that that silver was ready to be used. It would be pure silver. And the way that he would know that he could use that silver was when he looked over into the pot that had been on the fire. He could look in there and see his reflection looking back at him. Hey, y'all okay? You get what I'm saying there? The more that you let God burn off the dross out of your life, the more you become in the image of Christ, and the more he can look down on you and see what he is. See himself in you. This is the providence of God. Amen. Amen, Brother Billy, you help yourself on them hallelujahs. Where'd I go? There we go. I found my spot. Great preacher yesteryear, A.C. Dixon, said, "He who obeys the command, rejoice in the Lord, has a hallelujah in his soul every minute of the day and night." This is the hallelujah of providence. Then there's the hallelujah of grace. For those of you who's keeping tabs, this is number three. The hallelujah of grace. In Psalm 106, now I'm going to read the whole chapter. Y'all be okay, it's only 48 verses. You can't have enough Bible in your message. Matter of fact, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a preacher that don't never quote Scripture. If he won't quote Scripture, he ain't worth you listening to. If he ain't giving you Scripture to back up, if he says something that falls nice on your ears and it flatters you and makes you feel good, but he ain't got no Scripture to back up what he just said, you better turn that rascal off. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Amen. Amen.
If it's something that's, hey, that you just keep on doing good. Look, we've got a whole epidemic of that going on all across the world of unbiblical preaching.
Amen.
That is not helping. So, you know, I thought about the other night, this preacher was preaching, and I listened to him, and as he preached, Brother Borden on Tuesday night, as he preached, I thought of the old song that's in our red back hymnals here. It says, "Preachers in those good old days were filled with the holy flame. They were preaching for the souls of men and not for worldly fame. Under such old-fashioned preaching, sinners fell to pray, and the Lord would save them in the good old-fashioned way." That's what we need. We need a revival of preachers that have preached the Bible. We need a revival of preachers that love men's souls more than they care about who knows them and where they go and what churches they get to preach in. We need preachers that are willing to say, "I love the Lord enough to tell people the truth."
Amen.
What greater grace than to sit up under a leather-lunged preacher that'll tell you the truth. Psalm 106. Oh, that was free. I probably should have done a timeout there. Psalm 106 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord and who can show forth all of His praise. Blessed are they that keep judgment and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praises. They soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed the glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. Does that sound familiar to you? They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the land. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed, and that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went till Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen, and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they hated them that ruled over him. Their enemies also opposed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered them for their covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy place, in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord of God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The saved sinner can sing hallelujah, the grace of God, more loudly and sweetly than any other, because God's justice has been satisfied in Jesus Christ. God's justice is not satisfied in the works you do. It is not satisfied in your ability and in your strength. God's justice is satisfied on the finished work of the cross of Calvary. We can sing hallelujah for the grace of God and for the cross. There is the hallelujah of praise. Somebody asked me recently what time we got done at Gateway. I said, all between 12 and 1. And they got a little frog in their throat. I said, 12 and 1. I don't want to start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. It's 12:06 right now. We'll be all right. The hallelujah of praise. The hallelujahs of nature, providence, and grace continue to the end, but the works recede and God Himself is more clearly seen. Psalm 111, verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Hallelujah. Then praise the Lord with my whole heart. Psalm 112, verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Hallelujah. Then blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Psalm 113. Verses 1 through 4 says, praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Hallelujah! Then praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Psalm 146, 1 and 2, I'm going to read it again. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. While there's any part of me that exists, I'm going to praise the Lord. You can wake up in the morning saying, praise the Lord. You can go through the work day and say, praise the Lord. You can have a bad day at work. Everything be going wrong. Seem like all of hell is breaking loose and breaking forth and the enemy is against you. And you got a choice to make. You can either cuss it for everything it's worth. Amen. Don't act like that you don't. Come on. Or you can say, praise the Lord. Somebody come to you, bring you some bad news, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 147, 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Psalm 148, I got to read that one to you too. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights, praise ye Him, all His angels, praise ye Him, all His hosts, praise ye Him, sun and moon, praise Him, all ye stars of light, praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever, and hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail and snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent, and His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 149 and verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song in His praise in the congregation of saints. Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. God Himself is greater and more worthy of praise than His works of nature, providence, and grace. You understand what I'm saying there? Just God in who He is worthy of your praise if He never done any of the works that you ever received from Him. Praise God for who He is. There's the hallelujah of judgment. What do you mean, preacher? Well, let's read. Revelation 19, verses 1 through 3 says, "After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He had judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever." There is coming a day when God's judgment will be poured out on those who have rejected and cursed Him, and those who have fought against His cause, and those who have hated His children. There is coming a day where those persecuted children of God will sing hallelujah because the accuser of the brethren falls off into the lake of fire. And if you haven't battled much spiritually, you just hold on, it's a coming. I'll give you my phone for a week. You can wear the preacher hat for a week. You'll change your attitude. I don't know. I guess it's because of the picture that we've painted. We picture leadership as being a glorious thing. Let me tell you what we are. Pastor, preachers, deacons. You know what we are. How can I help you today?
Come on.
Austin's coming up with a list in his head. That's our job, Pastor. You know what? Sometimes a servant is talked down to.
You're right.
But that don't change the mandate to serve. I'm not, just because somebody speaks coarsely to me or speaks poorly to me or runs my name in the ground, that doesn't change the fact that I am indebted to the Lord to serve regardless of what's said about me, regardless of what happens to me, regardless of what I'm feeling at that moment, regardless of what I'm facing. It does not negate my responsibility as a child of God, as a servant of the Most High God, to serve whom? His people.
Amen.
Even the mean ones. Yep, shocker. Some people believe I'm mean. But it's my job. The Bible says in the book of James, pure religion undefiled is this, to look after the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And we say, well, we know about the widows. What does that mean by the fatherless? You know, there's people that their fathers have gone on. I'm told, I have not experienced that, but I'm told that one of the most detrimental things in your life is to lose your father, if you're blessed to have a good father. That it's hard, it's difficult, you lose a lot of security and confidence and things when you face that. I don't know, some of you have been through that, I'm just going off of what I have been told. I have not faced that, I've not crossed that river yet. That you lose a lot. And even in the midst of that, we should have a church that looks after the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, what they're going through, what they're facing. It should not be that the church looks at somebody and says, you just figure it out on your own.
Amen.
It shouldn't be that the church looks at somebody and says, you're just going to have to work through this. And God help you if you stupidly say to someone who is grieving their loved one that they just need to get over it or they just need to move on. God help you because your time's coming, friend. And I promise you, you ain't going to want somebody to look you in the eye and say, well, you just need to get past that. Did you know there's some things that you just can't get past? You need the Lord's help to get you past that.
Come on, brother. Amen.
There's a judgment. Here's what we are. We're servants. How can I serve you? Whether or not I'm a good servant, I don't know. But I try to be. How can I help you? Whether it's the little ones, or whether it's the big ones, the tall ones, the grown men, sometimes they need somebody to say, hey, how can I help you, brother?
Yeah.
What's going on in your life? What do you need? We've got it in our mind that this thing of leadership is all prominence. Hello, I'm the good pastor. I am unapproachable, and you cannot talk to me. Kiss the ring, peasant. Hey, if you got somebody with that kind of attitude, please get out of that church.
Amen.
Get away from their ministry.
Amen.
If you following you folks online, you following somebody like that, get away from that junk. That ain't of God. The guy that's the leader, the guy whose name's on the sign, he ought to be the first servant in the church. First one, here's what I've learned pastoring. He ought to be the first one to say, I'm sorry. He ought to be the first one to say, I can't fix it. I can't change what's happened, but I can love you through it if you'll allow me. I can't redo everything. I can't go back and change it. I can't make you feel better, but what I can do is continue to love you and continue to pray for you while we're working through this thing. There's the hallelujah of judgment. Judgment brings a different attitude. Last one. There's the hallelujah of God's sovereignty. Now the word sovereign, I think we're scared of that word sometimes. But it just means one possessing supreme power. Revelation 19:6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Sometimes the wickedness of this world causes us to think that God is not on the throne. Well, He is. Revelation 19:4, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God and sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. The fact that He doesn't strike dead those who are filled with iniquity is proof that God is merciful. And we can say, Hallelujah, God is merciful. Because it ain't just the people that are outside of the church that are filled with iniquity. We don't come here to the church because we're right and we got all our ducks in a row and we're perfect. It's because we've got iniquity and sin that we deal with and that we struggle with, and we need the preached word of God applied to our heart.
Amen.
And the fact that God doesn't strike us dead every week. Lamentations said it like this. Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The wonderful part about the providence of God, about the sovereignty of God, is that when we wake up in the morning, He who never slumbers or sleeps already has mercy allocated for our need. Hallelujah. There's already mercy there for what you're going to face. For what you don't even know is coming. There's already grace there for the thing that's going to shake you to the core on a random Tuesday afternoon, for the thing that's going to turn your life upside down. There's already grace. There's already mercy for the loved one that disappoints you, for the heartache you feel, for the job that changes. There's going to be grace and there's going to be mercy every single morning. And you're going to find it from the Lord. I think of Paul when I think of God's sovereignty. He hated Christ. He hated Christians. And yet God spared him to be perhaps the greatest missionary to ever walk the face of the earth. This man was beaten, left for dead. Iconium and Lystra. He was beaten, stoned nearly to death. And as soon as he got healed up, he went back to them to preach some more. We go knock on a door, somebody's mean to us, I just ain't never going back to that house again.
We hand somebody a gospel tract and they throw it down in front of us. And we just go ahead and say, well, there ain't no hope for them. Yes, there is hope. They got breath in their body, there's hope.
Amen.
We can pray for them. We can pray about them. We can pray to the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to have to do something with them. I can't do nothing with them, but you're going to have to do something with them. God is sovereign. God is on His throne. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' holy name, we love You, Lord. We thank You for who You are and for what You've done. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You, Lord, that we can sing hallelujah to Your holy name. We can lift You up anywhere in the world. Lord, it should be that we can lift You up here at Gateway Church. Lord, that we can observe who You are and adore who You are. Lord, not just at Christmas time with the song, but anytime we can come and adore You. Help us, Father. Give us what we stand in need of this morning. Move in only the way that You can. Help the hearts of Your people. Bless in tonight's service. In Jesus' name.